Blog Talk Radio.
Don't you just feel like you are caught between two opposing sides that really don't seem all that opposing? You know, the left wing and the right wing of the same bird flying in the wrong direction? Well, you've come to the right place because here you are, stuck in the middle with us, and you are listening to Constitutionally Correct Broadcasting. Welcome to Constitutionally Correct. I am your constitutional evangelist, Randy Stumpelbeam, and tonight we're going to talk about, do we really need a border wall? It's quite the topic that's going around these days, and so we are going to be talking about that, and I'm going to try to get my tablet up so I can monitor Facebook, because I will be taking your questions. If you would like to call in, to actually voice your opinion rather than necessarily type it in and that sort of thing, you're welcome to call in at 760-539-3245. And I'll be trying to monitor. I'm going to be doing a lot of multitasking here tonight. My wife actually volunteered to help me do some, you know, background producing kind of stuff. And we just hadn't had a chance to work out those details yet. So hopefully within the next week or so, she'll be well trained and able to do the background stuff of running the videos, running the audio, and that sort of thing. If you're listening in on Blog Talk Radio tonight, I am going to do my best to absolutely try to keep you informed of what we're doing tonight. I am going to be using some video. I'm going to be using some pictures tonight to demonstrate the very things that we're going to be talking about. So hopefully I'll be able to describe really what we're looking at on as a picture, and let me gotta do some shutting down over here, make sure I don't shut the wrong things off and keep the right things on. All right, so if you, again, if you want to talk, come in and voice your opinion. You can come in to Blog Talk Radio, and again, I'll give you that phone number at 760-539-3245, and we'll bring you on. If you come on, hit the number 1 on your keypad, and that will bring you on to the show. It will raise your hand, and then I will bring you on to the show, and I see my sister-in-law out there. I see Grant, and my wife is out there tonight. Hello, everyone. Hopefully, you all got the message. I saw this video advertising for this tonight shared around Facebook. If you think about it, if you can, if you're on Facebook, hey, take and share the link to this and bring people on, because this is an important issue, especially now that you know, we've gone through one government shutdown over this issue because of the quote-unquote lack of funding to build the wall. And tonight the question is, do we really need a wall? And so I'm going to be talking about that. But before I do, I want to remind people about the CPAC thing that's going on later on this month. I am hoping to make it out there. However, I've run into a financial brick wall, not the border wall. The border wall is pretty porous, and I can get through that or jump over it or whatever. But I hit a pretty big, solid concrete wall financially. This past weekend, we had to put tires on a car all the way. Well, we got to put them all the way around. We only got two of them on the back. My truck engine is about to go, and I had to buy another truck engine. And so I am running out of funding to be able to make it there. I'm actually going to do a FundMe thing on Facebook, a FundMe thing where you can click it, and I could sure use some financial help and assistance to make it out there. I think it's really important. I do not want to miss it. I am bound and determined to make it one way or another if I have to hitchhike out there. I'm not so crazy about that because I got some sound equipment to take along with me. So hopefully I don't need to do a hitchhike, but I am hoping to be able to drive out there because, like I said, I do have computer equipment, my mixer, and those kind of things to have out so I can do interviews. Be taking this mic right here along with me so we can do some great quality broadcasting. So anyway, if you can help, would appreciate it. I'll be posting out the link. I'll be sending some emails out. Maybe you can help me out and get there without totally getting thrown out on the street, not paying the heat, not paying that sort of stuff. But regardless of whether I make it or not, I have every intention to make sure that we have a presence out there. Last time we had, Christy Mowry and Dustin Ussery, and they were doing some interviews for Constitution Party Talk Radio. And it looks like my buddy Terry's on the line there. So if you're wanting to voice your opinion, as I know you have an opinion out there, Terry, you hit that number one, I think it is, on the keypad, and I'll bring you in. So enough for CPAC. As a part of this piece tonight, this presentation tonight, as most of you know, and there's probably a few that don't, but I think most of you know that I had been a cast member on the documentary Borderland, and that happened in October of 2013. And as a consequence, I've created a website called Borderland Journey. I'm hoping to write a book about it one of these days. But on the Borderland Journey website, it's borderlandjourney.com. borderlandjourney.com, and on there's several resources that I think you should take a look at. Number one is the presentation that I gave, I believe it was in April of 2014, so just about 6 months or so after we had done the documentary, I gave a presentation to the Constitution Party, and this is a presentation that I gave to the Constitution Party. It includes about 100 pictures that I had taken while there on the documentary and shared a lot of perspective about it. And I think it's a real important presentation to take a look at. Also, I've created what I call a colloquium. Now, you're going to have to look that word up. It's spelled C-O-L-O-Q-U-I-U-M, colloquium. And basically, it's a way of doing a presentation because I thought, my presentation really isn't what I would consider a workshop. It's not just a lecture. It's set up so that if you go on there, you can request for me to come speak and present the whole documentary from Borderland in one day or several days over a period of weeks, and give an opportunity for questions and answers to be able to see through that. So if you're interested in having me come speak to your group, or you would like to have this colloquium, you know, where we're presenting to several people. You're able to see the documentary. You're able to ask questions and, you know, make comments and all of that. Go to borderlandjourney.com and click on the links, and it'll take you where you need to get in contact with me. If you'd like me to come speak, in fact, I'm supposed to be speaking to a tea party tomorrow, Thursday, and for a tea party in Morton, Illinois. So if you'd like for me to come and talk to your group about this very important issue of the border wall on illegal immigration and all of that, Stufflebeam, that's my last name, Stufflebeam, and my initials, RC, StufflebeamRC at gmail.com. And Stufflebeam is spelled Stufflebeam, and then, of course, my initials at gmail.com. Get in touch with me, and I would love to come and speak and educate you all, because what you're seeing, as you can well imagine, isn't the whole story, isn't a lot of the truth about what's going on. And we're going to be talking about that tonight. But before we get rolling, I am going to share my screen where I have some videos set up, and I'm going to play for you two or three trailers. And so just to kind of get it kicked off and let you know, I actually was on this documentary called Borderland. Oh, wait a minute. I know I didn't get to share with the making sure the computer audio was captured. So hold on, got to click one more square here. Now I can share it. All right, let's roll this. Okay, trailer number two. All right, and trailer number three, Al Jazeera America went away. And I do, by the way, see your hand raised there, Terry. I'll get with you here in just a second. Trailer number three, actually, Al Jazeera America no longer exists. They've gone away. And so Fusion TV, I guess, bought the rights to show this documentary, and they created their own trailer, and this is that trailer. All righty, so those are the just three of the trailers. There's a few more trailers out there, but those are the ones to run tonight. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through some of these pictures, and I'm going to describe them, hopefully, so that people on Blog Talk Radio can actually kind of get an idea of what we're talking about. Although, if they want to see these pictures, you're going to have to go to Facebook, go to Constitutionally Correct. You can plug that into the search bar there, and you'll come up with my page. If you just simply want to plug in the link on the URL for the page, it's Facebook/ Constitutionally Correct and the number one. It's no spaces, Constitutionally Correct one, and you'll get to that page, and then go to videos, and you can check out the pictures that I'm going to show tonight. I've also done a couple of episodes, actually a total of five episodes, dealing with the documentary, doing some video clips, and then talking about them along the way. I think, again, it's quite an important thing that you need to check out and see, because it's a different perspective from anything that anybody else across this nation is talking about, from a totally different perspective. So, but before we get into hitting the pictures, let me go to Terry, my buddy Terry out there. Let's see if I can get this clicked. There we go. Welcome to the show, Terry. Glad to have you. Yeah, I got you on now.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, for informational purposes, you know, I can watch Facebook, but I can't comment on Facebook, right? I'm probably blocked forever, I suppose. the terrorists at Facebook don't want me around. But anyways, the bottom line is I can see and hear the stuff on the Facebook, but I can't hear it on the phone here. Just to let you know, you can't hear when you go to these things, you can't hear it on the phone.
So
in case somebody else doesn't have Facebook,
hear my voice. You're only hearing my voice on Facebook.
Yeah, I can hear your voice on the phone call in, but I can't hear that. You know, when you play those.
Videos. Yeah, what I'm going to do.
You can't hear the sound.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to download this, and I will edit the sound file on Blog Talk, and I will actually put the sound files in there specifically.
Okay.
So they'll be really good to hear. That's what I did. I don't know if you were able to check out the episode from last week, but, dude, if you listen to last week's episode on Blog Talk Radio, you are not going to hear all the problems we had. It's the beauty of being able to edit the audio.
Well,
you couldn't
hear it last week either. I was there last week. I couldn't hear it last week either.
Yeah, so, but if you check out last week's Blog Talk, you'll see that I added those.
The archive or something, or re-listen to I haven't re-listened to it or anything, but when I was listening to it live, you couldn't hear it.
Yeah, right. And I've got to figure out how to be able to get that audio to go up.
All right.
I need to play it on a different computer and then plug that into my mixer so that the audio goes through the mixer and out that way rather than simply trying to figure that out through Facebook Live and that sort of thing. So
I bet you know what I think about that, right?
Well, go ahead.
We spend enough money on security at the border as it is, you know, and we don't want to stop them from coming across anyways, as far as I'm concerned. You know, they don't want to stop them. They just, you know, it's a big show. Like, you know what your documentary did there, what they did, that's the truth. So, you know, they let some of them go. They prosecute some of them. You know, people die. You know, it's a mess. It's a big, you know, it's propaganda. You know, it's a thing for the government to get bigger, you know. So, no wall.
Right. Well, I just tried sharing I don't know if my Facebook Live is getting your audio. This is going to be fun to try to make all these connections happen. I just shared my studio on Facebook, and I don't know if that will help. I don't know if that will translate the audio into Facebook or not. I don't know. We'll have to see. But, hey, thanks for being on and listening, and appreciate your support. And and hit the number one on your keypad again, if you will, so that it removes.
I can do that.
The,
God bless, brother. Take it easy.
Hey, God bless you too, my friend. All right, so let's see. I'm going to kill that share because I don't think you're getting the audio from that, and I don't need the audio from it now because I just killed him. So, all right. I didn't kill him, okay? I just cut him off from the feed. All right, so question is, do we need a wall? And I think most of you know what my answer is to that right out of the gate. I totally believe that without spending one more cent, appropriating one more cent, we could close the border down tomorrow. Now, folks, I just copied this picture in. I just realized it. And let me go find where it is. Or did I get it copied here? Oh, yeah, here it is. So let me pull this up so you can. Let's see. Oh, I need to hit my share again. Sharing this picture. Now, for those of you that are on Blog Talk, the picture that I am sharing right now is a picture of an airplane in the background, and there's guards all around. The Now, I don't know if it's actually, and I think they were, as I recall, the guards are actually Border Patrol down in El Salvador. This plane is down in El Salvador. And what you see are migrants getting off of this train. Yeah, that's another picture coming down the line. Getting off of this plane, and they're heading into a building where they're being welcomed back to El Salvador. And this, again, bear in mind, this is 2013. And what was real interesting that I found out was that, bear in mind, who was president in 2013? That's right, Mr. Obama. And what you may find very interesting is the fact that Obama had deported more migrants than his predecessors. And I don't know if it put them all together and he did more. I don't know exactly what the numbers are of deporting these illegal immigrants. But as I understood it, 100 to 200 migrants every week. I think this was a weekly flight. 100 to 200 migrants were and this is just El Salvador. We're not even talking about the deportation to other countries like Mexico, like Guatemala, like wherever. All right. This is just in El Salvador. And imagine, and guess what, folks? Guess who's footing the bill for this plane to fly all these migrants down here to El Salvador? Bing, 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 bing. You're right. These United States of America footing that bill. You know, the amount of money that it takes to process illegal immigrants. I should say illegal migrants. They are migrating illegally into the United States. Because, and we've had this conversation a few times around the area, and that is that immigration is a legal process. And so you're an illegal alien, an illegal immigrant, if you didn't come into this country legally. So imagine if you could, and I don't have the numbers, and maybe this is something I should do, you know, like how many migrants that Obama actually deported during his presidency compared to all the other former presidents. I don't know how many that Trump is deporting or has deported under his administration. But yeah, the amount of money that it takes to, you know, run these airplanes and fly these illegal aliens back to their own country, you know, the court costs of processing them, the detention costs, the housing costs. You know, they're talking about all these beds that have to be put together to deal with these illegal migrants. You know, you probably heard about that conversation going on right now. So imagine all the money that is being spent on deporting these migrants. And bear in mind, when we were on the train and we talked to some of these migrants that had the ability to speak English, some of them was like, this is our third, fourth, or fifth time of going back into the United States. And, you know, just getting re-deported back to the country. And then they're back on the train again, coming back to the United States to be with their family. You know, they come up there. And one of the episodes you may remember was a guy mentioning that he had a family up here. And he's not even sure that he's going to come back to the United States to be with his family. He married a woman, had kids by this woman, and he was here illegally and then got caught, got deported, and he's not sure he's going to be back there to be with his family. And so, you know, there's all kinds of problems that are created by these circumstances and these situations here. You know, but imagine this, if we were to actually stop them from coming into this country, and we wouldn't have to worry about all the costs of housing them, incarcerating them, the court costs of dealing with them, the immigration, you know, the people dealing with them, you know, the Border Patrol, ICE, and all of these people having to deal with these illegals, and then the cost of deporting them, flying them back to their country. 100 to 200 migrants at a time every week, and the cost associated. I just have no idea what the processing costs to these United States have been. Imagine if we just refocus that money on keeping them from coming in the first place. And the matter is, folks, and I'm going to start showing you some of these pictures, is that we have the ability, and I'm going to start share here, and I'm going to go and start showing you some, I wonder if there's a way to, you know, I think I'm just going to have to go through this a little bit at a time, a picture at a time. We'll start with the very first picture here, and bear in mind, these pictures we're taking, and this is going to be walking through them, and I'm going to be talking about them in a chronological order. I didn't have time to kind of set them up by topic, so what we're going to deal with is how these pictures came out, and where were we, what were we doing, and that sort of thing, as we were traversing the globe in, let's see, is this one? Nope, not that one. I need this other picture. Where are you? Oh, there you are. All right. So beginning with this, and again, for my blog talk folks, the first picture I've got up, and I'm going to be getting to more of it, is a border stop. Now, this border stop, or, you know, where you come to a checkpoint. Yeah, that's what it is. This is a checkpoint, a borderland, an illegal immigrant checkpoint, illegal migrant checkpoint. I'm going to have to get my mind to be able to hit those words right. So what we have is we've got Border Patrol. They're sitting on chairs waiting for the next vehicle to come. And, of course, they are waiting. Now, this is a bizarre thing, and you're going to see another group of pictures here in a little bit. They are waiting for vehicles to come to their checkpoint with illegal migrants. Now, folks, you got to bear in mind, these places are not secret. They're a little place on the road out in the middle of the desert, literally out in the middle of the desert. And so anybody that's traveling these roads aren't your average tourist. They're not the ones that, hey, I want to take a trip down this road and just kind of see where it goes, you know. Oh, look, there's an illegal migrant. Let me pick him up and let me see if I can make a little money and escort him back up to the States. And, oh, gee, I didn't know there was going to be a checkpoint here. Now I'm going to get in trouble because here's the Border Patrol, here's a checkpoint, and gee golly gee whiz, I'm going to be caught with this migrant in my car. Oh, shame on me. Whatever! These checkpoints are not a secret, folks. And if you're up in the hills, you can see them. If you're on foot, you're not going to come through this by a roadway. Folks, when you're down there around the border, this honestly just makes no sense to me at all. Sure, they can. And the thing is, there's a border fence blocking them. There's only these, checkpoints on the border, you know, that they're checking vehicles, making sure they don't have, and these are guys that are going to, like, see them if they miss them somehow. And okay, whatever. Next photo. Now, here's a picture that I'm showing now is a picture of a tower. And this tower has cameras on it. I don't know what all kinds, probably infrared, regular cameras. I don't know what all kinds of, but this tower, surrounded by a fence, has also solar panels to power this deal right here, because it's out in the middle of the desert. There's no power lines and that sort of thing. And there's several of these across the landscape, folks. This is just one of many throughout there that we came across. But bear in mind, you know, there's there's ground sensors. We've got pictures. I saw a video where they had set up these cameras in a gully, a wash, where they were seeing all of these migrants come tracking through. It's a hidden camera. Look, you can't tell me you can't set these things up. And, oh, hey, there's some illegal migrants. Let's go get them, boys. And for you that are on Blog Talk, you're not able to see my head shake and my eyes rolling here as I'm like, jeez, really? The next picture is the same tower, just a little bit further away. And to kind of get an idea of the landscape, I mean, certainly there's some brush, but there's a lot of barren ground that's just impossible to hide in. Now, the next pictures that I'm going to show, there's a group of them, is it's in the middle of the night. It's another checkpoint. It's in the, I don't have any idea what time of the night this was, but it was dark. And what you can see in this picture is these big, bright lights that are shining. I mean, you can see these things for, I'd venture to guess, probably 50 miles away, especially from the hills, especially in the desert where there's no other lights around. You're going to see this glow. And, of course, somebody might say, well, it'd be like, moths attracted to the fire and burn up. Well, okay, folks. These are migrants, not moths. They have a brain to think. And lights, you're coming into the country illegally. What might this light be? Well, I think I'm going to avoid it. And so out in the middle of the desert, folks, there's no other lights. There's no other towns, no other buildings, houses, anything remotely close to this area. And you've got these big old bright lights. We're on a road. I don't remember where we were headed, but showing a couple more of these pictures as I'm going through. The vehicles shows just an idea of how bright this area is. And, of course, I got this next picture is one of the Border Patrol asking if they've got any illegals in their vehicle. Now, the next picture that I'm showing, and I've got a couple of them here, is there's a blimp in the air. And this blimp is it's hovering somewhere around about 100 feet in the air. And what it is it is a radar blimp. Now, it's tethered. And I don't know if they keep it up all night, but at least during the detect, folks, is this is only a few miles in from the border. Probably 5 to 10 miles from the border fence. And what they're doing, and what we had talked to a sheriff who said that blimp was there to detect ultralights. Because what the cartels are doing is they are using ultralights to cross over the fence and drop off the drugs. And certainly they've got some specific area drop-offs, and the sheriff's point is what we try to do is beat the others to the drop-off point. So they use this as a radar detection to try to detect these ultralights and get the drugs that are being dropped off. And this same sheriff, and I'm showing it from a real far away, I'm pretty sure it's about 100 feet in the air is what he was telling me. And so I'm showing a picture of myself standing next to Sheriff Daniels. And Sheriff Daniels is a guy that I really respect. Some of you have heard me tell about the fact that he had an open invitation to all federal politicians, you know, to the House of Representatives, to our senators, hey, come and take a ride with me and let me show you the real border. And I don't know, with all this hoopla going with Trump, I need to call him and find out if anybody's ever taken him up on his offer to drive him around and see what the real thing is. But between him and a rancher, both of them from different counties, different areas, different jobs, different say that about 70% of all the illegal migrant traffic is drug related. And part of that is because these migrants needing to be funded are being mules for the drugs coming across the border, because these cartels are using them, knowing they want to get into the border. They want to get their drugs in. So they've got a little marriage made in heaven. And what I'm now showing is we are traveling up to the border fence, this area, and it's actually a county, and I can't Cochise County, that is east of Pima County, which is where Tucson, Arizona is, and what they consider to be ground zero of the illegal immigration, where, you know, probably somewhere close to 300 deaths a year happen. And part of it is because of there was an engineering idea of putting these fences into easily accessible areas and funnel them into the hardest areas, being the desert and the mountains, and as a deterrent for these migrants. But I'm telling you, there is no deterrent. There's a desperation. And so as we get close, you can kind of see the entire fence there. You've got a solid top of it, the walls of it. Now, this picture that I'm showing right here is a picture where you can just literally see the fence just stops. Now, the steel fence stops, and probably, I don't know, 100, 200 feet, a quarter of a mile, there's a much smaller fence, probably get a run and jump over it if you want. But why worry about that? Because just around the corner up there, it stops. It stops and you can literally just walk around the end of the fence. No big deal. And Sheriff Daniels also said that the mountain that you see here, actually, I think I can back up and see it as we were coming in. No, that there was probably the drug cartel had people watching up there to see and knew that we were in the area. Now, the picture that I'm showing, these next two, three pictures, it was two pictures, are showing where they had literally the drug cartel cut through these fences to give their ATVs, you know, their four wheels, the ability to just ride right underneath them. They took chop saws or, you know, welding equipment, cut these bars. Now, let me tell you, these bars are not flimsy pieces of metal. They are solid pieces of steel. I don't know, probably somewhere between an eighth to a quarter of an inch in steel. These are not cheap things, but they're middle of the desert, probably about 20 feet tall. In fact, I've got pictures. I wanted to have it, but I couldn't find it. I've got a picture of where they build ramps. These are 20 feet structures, and I'm telling you, they're solid steel, and they're so stout that I've got a picture of a ramp that a car goes up, and what they do is they drive their car up this ramp, and it's twice as long as the height of, well, probably three times the height of, three times as long as the height of this fence, because they go up it, and then they slowly start cresting the top of it so that the ramp will slowly go down to the ground on the other side and then drive down, deliver their drugs, and then repeat the process and literally drive over the fence. That's how strong this fence is, folks, that they can literally drive over it. And this shows the picture I'm showing right now is showing some of the cast members off to the left, but some of the cameramen and kind of the area. And just to see how barren this area is, how low the brush is, there's almost no need. If you had a border patrol sitting on the side of this hill rather than the drug cartel, you could watch and see everything for 100 miles around. And again, I'm showing another picture of the fence that was cut through, and then they repaired the fence, put some concrete barriers in there so that they wouldn't be as likely to drive through. But if you're here seeing this, on the kind of the left-hand side on the other side of the fence, you see the gully there, that they would literally be driving down this gully, and you can see why they would cut this area out, because it was a gully, and they could kind of hide their ability to drive their four-wheel vehicles and that sort of thing through here. And so now the picture I'm showing is me on a donkey, and we're out on this rancher's property that I don't know how many hundreds of square miles of ranch he's got, but his ranch goes up to the border. And what he used to tell us is back in before NAFTA, the migrants used to come in and the migrants used to go out. Come in, there was real migration going in and out, back and forth. But after NAFTA killing the economy of Mexico and all the violence going down in the other countries, well, they come, they stay. And again, I want to show you that this terrain is barren. You can't hide here. There's nothing to hide behind. And so Border Patrol, and you can see probably, I don't know how far those hills are in the background, 20, 30 miles, 50 miles. I have no idea how to gauge that distance in this picture. But so a pair of binos and you're patrolling, you know, 100, 200 square miles. One person on horseback, no less, could really check and see what's going on around this area. And we've got folks, right, the last number I had was 20,000 Border Patrol. And do you know we've only got 2,000 miles of border between the U.S. and Mexico? How many Border Patrol is that? 1,000 miles? Well, let's go with 20,000 Border Patrol divided by 2,000 miles is how many? Wouldn't you say, if my math is correct, 10 Border Patrol per mile? And here, one Border Patrol agent could patrol 50 miles. So come on. You can't tell me we could not have a situation where we kill this thing and nip it in the bud. The picture I'm showing right now is some big tires. They're pulled, I don't know, probably by four-wheel drive vehicles and that sort of thing. And what they do is they pull them through these gullies to erase any footprints so that they can see fresh footprints and gauge if there's been anybody through here recently. And the next picture or two, again, another one of those coming up to the checkpoint, you know, where we were, my very first picture showed us, I think about a half a mile from the actual checkpoint, but you could see that checkpoint a mile, 2 miles away. I mean, look, folks, if you did have some illegal migrant in your vehicle, you could drop them off long before you ever get to that checkpoint. And so now the next few kind of shows the checkpoint, the Border Patrol officers, the things that they have for their offices and that sort of stuff, and kind of take a look at the vehicles and the surrounding area. Now, this one and the next pictures was taken down in El Salvador. And these pictures here are, this is one, the X and the 3. What does X and 3 make? 13. This is one of the symbols down there for MS-13. All right. And so the next one is, you see the number 18. Well, there's two pictures here. There's the number, and it's painted. This 18 is actually painted on the side of a concrete wall. And the next picture is two gang members of the 18th Street Gang. Now, MS-13, if you folks don't know this, MS-13 and 18th Street gangs were gangs out of L.A. They were rival gangs out of L.A. And the reason why these gangs did not get their beginnings in El Salvador or anywhere else in the world, they got it in L.A. But the gangs are so horrible down in these particular countries because, I forget what year it was, the U.S. decided to go on a deportation rant. And they started deporting all of these gang members. They're like, hey, let's get rid of them. And so they deported these gang members down into these other countries where violence wasn't so curtailed. And so now you've got these gangs that have grown to be international gangs. And, you know, the most powerful, as I understand it, is MS-13. It's an international gang, you know, dealing with drugs and human smuggling and all of that. And so, you know, again, folks, as I've said in the past, the United States has some culpability. Now, this picture is the picture that I showed before about the migrants getting off the airplane. Now, the picture that I'm showing here is down in Arriaga, Mexico, where the train, the Bestia, gets, well, I say the train. It's not one train. There's several trains running, and they're all known as the Beast. And just really want to show this particular picture because We are on one train that is ready to start making its move and start heading both west and north, northwest, and start its trek. And but what you see in this picture is there's another train on another set of railroad tracks that migrants are queuing up on that train, ready to head out on that one as well. And so, you know, I wanted to revisit this whole train. And the next picture I'm showing is to show the train that I was on, La Bestia, with all these illegal migrants, where anywhere from 500 to 1,000 migrants every day. You know, I showed you that other picture, right? There was another train where migrants were already queuing up to be starting to travel towards the southern border of the United States. 500 to 1,000 migrants every day. And we're worried about one little caravan, folks. Oh, that's the one getting the news. And of course, that's why they're doing it. They're making it so that it's news and they're creating these situations. But all of this other stuff is totally going on all the while, not being covered by the news. And, you know, 500 to 1,000 a day within 30 days. That could be 30,000 migrants heading to the southern border of the United States every month. And we're worried about one little caravan. We should have been worrying about this whole thing long, 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 long before all of this. And this train is no joke a problem. I mean, this train goes maybe 15, maybe 20 miles an hour in some places. If it gets going too fast, the tracks are so bent out of shape that the train wobbles so much. I should have taken pictures and didn't think of it at the time, but I can't tell you how many of these railroad cars are laying on the side abandoned because it just costs too much money to send heavy equipment to try to get it back on the rails. So they just let them sit there and rot. And I don't know, 10 to 50 of them that we saw along the way because it's so rough. And then you get into this area where this rough terrain. On the documentary, you actually see us ducking under a branch. Here's a branch that they're not quite ducking under, but you can see it's over the top of this train. And so migrants have been knocked off and killed all along the way. This track is no joke, folks. These people are desperate to get to somewhere like we have with freedom. And I'm showing another picture where there's migrants standing on a train. And I think that's the last of the pictures that I want to show. I wanted to revisit these because of the situation that's going on and how people, we need to be aware of what's going on. Like I said, if we wanted to, we could shut down that border tomorrow without appropriating another cent. Where would all this money come from? Well, as I said at the beginning of the show, guess what? If we stop them from coming in, we could save our money from having to deport them out. And, of course, all the other expenses that it's costing us taxpayers to, you know, to have to support. Not only, you know, our government having to spend the money on it, but medical costs, folks. You know, people say that migrants don't get, you know, Medicare and all that stuff. Well, yes, that's true. They, unless they found a loophole and somehow, you know, got into it and got involved and that sort of stuff. But the thing is, folks, you don't have to worry about that. When they know, they can simply go into any emergency room across these United States, and they can't be refused for inability to pay. So what do? They go into these emergency rooms, which happens to be, oh by the way, the most expensive health care there is emergency room, just to say, hey, you got a cold, go home and blow your nose. You know, the cost of having seen that one person in the emergency room to deal with that is enormous. And I know of several hospitals that could just no longer to keep their doors open. They had to declare bankruptcy. And so, you know, there's been more than one across these United States closing because they've had to deal with the cost of illegal migrants using those services. But, you know, we're all over the world doing things that, and by the way, for my Blog Talk friends, I'm holding up a cup. Man, you can't even hardly see the writing, but I'm holding up my pocket constitution to the camera. You know, there are so many violations of our constitution. You know, this being the world's police force, that's outside our constitutional prerogatives. We're not supposed to be traipsing around the globe and being imperialists and conquering the world and being the police force. But one of the constitutional uses for our military, it's around, depending on how you count the clauses, around Clause 15, Article 1, Section 8, Clause about 15. One of the dues for Congress, this is a due. Now, Article 1, Section 9 is the don'ts. These are the things you're not supposed to do, Congress. But these are the enumerated powers, as they're called. These are the enumerated what you're supposed to be doing. And then, you know, like I say, Article 9 is the enumerated, it's not your powers. You ain't supposed to be doing that. But here's one of their enumerated powers: to call forth, to provide for calling forth the militia, to execute the laws of the Union. Now, bear in mind, when this Constitution was written, there was no standing army. Now, we had a Marine Corps, but it was established in 1775, but it was established as a Department of the Navy. We weren't a land force. We were to protect the ships and then do amphibious operations, which is what we were used for another time constitutionally when there was an issuance of letters of mark and reprisal. We used that to take out the Barbary pirates. The Marines had some, you know, the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. Well, the shores of Tripoli is where we took out the pirates. It was a constitutional use of our military. It didn't require a declaration of war. It was done under the, again, one of the dues for Congress was to declare war, grant letters of mark reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water. So, folks, those are some dues, but the one I want to get to and talk about is the provide for calling forth the militia. And the reason why I went through all of that is because the militia, the standing army, was the standing army of the states. They had what was called a militia. It was government's job, and you know what? I'm not going to give all the secrets. I'm going to do another one about, you know, a constitutional army, a constitutional provision of the military, what a constitutional military would actually look like. And we're going to cover that because that's an important one, because it kind of goes back to dealing with the Second Amendment, because it does, you know, the Second Amendment talks about a well-regulated what? A well-regulated militia. Well, Congress has the authority to regulate the militias, not the states, the federal government, because the federal government said, I'm getting ahead of it. That's another show. I got to stop. But what I'm saying is the constitutional use of the military, or in this case, the militia, calling forth the militia to create that standing force. What is it their job to do? Okay, their job is to execute the laws of the Union. That's a clue here, folks. The laws of the Union, not the laws of the states. The laws of the Union were the purpose for calling forth the militia. Or, here's the big one, suppress insurrections to repel invasions. Folks, those are constitutional uses of our military to repel invasion. In fact, that's probably one of the most important. Now, most of the time, people think of repelling an invasion as repelling an armed force coming in to take over. Well, we've got a force that's coming in. They're just unarmed. And you can't tell me they are not having, maybe they haven't completed the task of taking over these United States, but they are certainly having a huge, 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 and in case you caught, missed it the first three times, huge, let me say it again, huge influence on our country. I mean, the things that are happening in California are just, to me, just mind-boggling, mind-blowing about how California's just basically been taken over by the illegal populace that have come, and you know, the anchor babies that have been born and all of that. And so the idea, and again, going to just taking a look at my notes, do we need a border wall? My position is we don't need a border wall. We need a government that will conduct itself constitutionally. This whole bizarre thing about, oh, and so, you know, and I know you've probably heard about the GoFundMe to raise money to build the wall. Folks, if you only understood all of these dynamics that are going on, you know, that money could be better spent to stop the tide, not build a wall. Stop the tide. How do we stop the tide? Stop the reasons for coming. What's one of the reasons why they're coming? Well, we talked about the desperation in the past. We've also talked about this, but why are they coming to these United States of America? Well, because if you make it through the gauntlet of La Bestia, if you make it through the gauntlet of human trafficking and all of that, if you make it through the gauntlet of being raped and that sort of stuff, if you make it through the gauntlet of the desert and didn't die in the desert, if you make it to Illinois, if you get to Chicago, dude, you got a sanctuary city. In Illinois, undocumented aliens can get subsidized housing. Undocumented aliens can get subsidized education. They can get in-state tuition. Illegal aliens to this country can get in-state tuition where legal citizens of this country cannot come to Illinois and just simply get in-state tuition. Go become a citizen of another country, come in illegally, and you can get subsidized education. Why are they coming? Well, we've got this big marquee sign that says you make it through that, all those gauntlets, you get subsidized housing, subsidized education, free medical care, and a driver's license to get to all those places. So why wouldn't you come to this country? Escaping horrible, horrible, horrible conditions and coming to a land where you get more benefits than legal citizens can get. Hey, it's quite a deal, folks. You wanna stop the tide? Eliminate the reasons for coming. Eliminate the subsidized housing for these undocumented. Eliminate the subsidized education for those who are undocumented. Eliminate the driver's license. Eliminate the free medical care for undocumented. And all of a sudden, it's not looking quite so glossy to come here. Now, I was listening to a show the other day. One of the talking heads was interviewing a guy who wrote a book, and I can't remember what the name of it was. I just caught the tail end of it. But they were talking about all these various issues about, you know, how the wall has made, the fences made a big difference. He was a border agent, and how all of this money, you know, dealing with the tunnels and all of that. And, you know, folks, even these Border Patrol agents, they don't get it. Well, it's kind of like I didn't get the Constitution when I was a Marine making an oath to support and defend the Constitution with my very life against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I didn't get it. These Border Patrol, they don't get a lot of these issues. But I've talked to a couple of them personally, and talked about why is it that they're not deployed to the actual border. They're 5 to 10 miles inland from it. At these checkpoints where, yeah, they're really going to catch these illegal migrants that are being funneled up here with coyotes, 10, 20 at a time, each coyote. It's insane, folks. If you understood what's driving it, this money that we're spending for a border wall, this GoFundMe that's for paying for a wall, could be better used to fix the economic conditions of these horrible, horribly run countries. Let's use our influence for the good, folks, instead of for the bad. We've talked about our influence before about the bad. But so let me check here. Did I mention the CPAC GoFundMe page? I didn't mention the GoFundMe page, but I did mention CPAC. And I see my buddy Gary out there. I'm not sure how long you've been here, buddy, but hey, good to see you. Of course, you had to catch the border wall. Dude, one of these days, we got to have us a reunion. I'm going to hold on and talk for a few minutes. Gary, if you're interested and you would like to make some comments or whatever, I'm also doing a simulcast with Blog Talk Radio. If you'll call in at 760-539-3245, and I'll bring you on to the show. We'll just have a kind of a brief conversation. I'd like to get your perspective of what's going on, because I did almost start to get to the point of talking about the circumstances that you find yourself in. I did hear that on this talk show that I was listening to. They talked about the bureaucracy of the I-9s real quickly on that show, but the bureaucracy that you've enlightened me to with that, where they can give you this doc, fill out the I-9, give you some documents, it doesn't look right, well, they've got 30 days to correct that and give you something that looks a little better. And so I'm just, hopefully you're able to call in here. I hope that you can call in, because I'd like to get your perspective here and let people hear it. But other than that, these are the, this whole facade of this war in Congress, why they had to shut down the government until we get funding for a wall that we really don't really need. And I think, Gary, I think you even agreed with me that if we spent our money otherwise and we could shut this border down and really get this whole mess cleaned up so that you'd have legitimate and legal employees that you knew were legitimate and that sort of stuff. I don't know, Gary, did you hear me? I don't see you calling in. I was hoping you'd be able to call in. You may not be there anymore or whatever, or I do have some lag. Oh, John, you're absolutely welcome, brother. And, I was mentioning that I was going to have a GoFundMe thing going on just so I can finance my trip out there, because I really want to be out there at CPAC, brother. I think it's really important, and I think it's really needed, and I think we could do a lot of good work. So any thoughts out there on Facebook about, what you think the position is, ought to be with the wall? Do you think we ought to have one, or do you think I've influenced you enough to realize I don't think we really need it? Let me see if refreshing my screen here will help, because other than John's, I'm not seeing anybody comment. Let's see, text this person. All right. So I guess, Gary, you're not going to be able to make it. I was hoping you, I'm sorry I missed you being there. But I'm not getting any updates. I'm going to try one more time to try to get get Facebook up on my cell phone so that I can make sure that I've got all the comments, because I'm not always dead sure that I'm getting all those comments. And I'd like to get your feedback about what you thought about the information that I shared tonight. Did you think it was right on? Do you think the rest of America needs to hear this? You know, what are your thoughts? I feel that America needs to hear it. I think it, you know, it's certainly the truth from my perspective. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it comes in pretty quickly. All right, so I'm not seeing any new ones here. Oh, okay. Is that you, Gary? Let's see. I'm just going to click this. Is that you, Gary?
No, I was just calling to listen.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
This is Ed, but I was just calling to listen.
Okay. Well, have you been listening on Facebook, or have you just now caught the show on Blog Talk?
Blog Talk, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, if you just recently caught it, we're just kind of wrapping it up for tonight. We've been on for about an hour, and it's something you'll definitely want to catch the entire show on. If you would like to, I'm actually simulcasting it on Facebook Live, and you can go to look it up on the Facebook search bar, Constitutionally Correct, and you can see, because I had a lot of pictures and started off with a couple of trailers there. You can check that out. So, but thanks for showing up here. Appreciate it. I'm sorry. I just was hoping to expect one of my buddies that was a cast member on a documentary. So,
okay.
Do you have any questions or comments?
No, I was just calling to listen, see what you guys were about. I'm sure it's the Constitution, which is good.
Ah, well, very good. Awesome. Well, appreciate it. Hope you find some really good information here. I think it's a topic that people need to hear a little bit of a different perspective. But I'm going to go ahead and cut your mic, and so you can continue to listen. I guess my buddy Gary Larson's not going to be able to make it here to the show. I was hoping impromptu he'd be able to make it. Probably is in an area or something where he can't. I'm glad he did stop by. I'm not seeing any other comments. Oh, the phone number again is 760-539-3245. And I'll just wait for a couple more moments so that we can see if anybody else is going to. I don't want to prolong this too awful long. I just was wanting to get some of y'all's input on this, your comments, your questions, because, you know, if you've got a question, you can bloody well bet somebody else has that question as well. I'll just wait a couple more moments since I just gave out that phone number. Folks, I don't know what else to tell you to cover. On Facebook, I will re-mention this again. On our Facebook page, Constitutionally Correct, click on the left-hand side, click videos, and scroll down through them. And you'll see where we had talked about, we had four episodes dealing with the documentary Borderland. And for our guest that just recently called in as well, and I just talked to, I also have a website called borderlandjourney.com where you can catch a presentation that I gave in April of 2014, just shortly after the documentary was created. I also have quite a few pictures and a presentation. And if people are interested, again, to find out more information, I have a thing called Colloquium, and people could contact me, request me to come and speak, and or present this documentary in its entirety and answer and questions and deal with your comments and that sort of thing. So it looks like, and what John Bloom, this is pretty exciting, folks, for the Constitution Party, very close to securing a booth right next to the Young Americans for Liberty, and right across the hall or the aisle from a college there. And so, you know, we really are looking to connect with the young folks. And so, folks, I guess that's going to be about it for tonight. Nothing overly dramatic. I just wanted to broach the topic again because obviously, you know, trying to avert another government shutdown because of the borderland issue, is quite important. And I get, folks, my opinion is you're just not seeing all of the facts of the case. You're getting skewed positions from the political arena, you know, skewed because they have particular points they want to make with their particular point of skewing. Folks, I had a pretty strong opinion about illegal immigration, and some of that perspective got changed when I actually put my hands on the wall. When I went down to El Salvador and dealt with those people, came up through Mexico, came up through Culiacan, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of the drug cartels, the Sinaloa drug cartel. We were there in the city. It's about twice the size of St. Louis. And, you know, down in these countries, the drug lords are the heroes. They're the ones building the roads. They're the ones building the hospital. They're the ones building the schools. On drug money. Why are they doing it illegally? You know, through what we think is a horrible, horrible situation? Well, it's because they were forced to it, because their economy was destroyed. And their, you know, what used to be their cash crop was corn. Well, their cash crop is still a growing vegetable, pot, you know, marijuana, and some of these other drugs that are coming up through here and funneling up through here. So, you need to know another side of this from a different perspective. And if you want to, if you're hearing this for the first time and you want to contact me and have a little bit more conversation, that's fine. My email address, stufflebeamrc@gmail.com. That's spelled STUFFLEBEAMRC. @gmail.com, stufflebeamrc@gmail.com. And, you know, if you'd like me to come speak, if you'd like to, you know, have a conversation, get more resources, I'd be more than happy to cover that with you. So that's all the time I got for tonight, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the information. Again, it almost feels like taking a gun and shooting the dead horse again. But, with the current circumstances, I'm hoping that, you know, just one more person is reached with the truth of what I have seen. May God bless you, folks. May God bless our effort to stand for freedom. And may God bless these United States of America once again. Good night, everyone.